In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is truly risen.
Hallelujah.
We're going to try that one more time, okay? Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh man, I can't tell you how excited I am. I was shaking the whole day. Especially as we're here in our seats over here, I was shuddering like this because this, for me, has been the most beautiful of all Easter vigils I've ever had. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know why it is, because that is definitely by far the worst I've ever sung the Exalted in my entire life. I think I got a total of maybe five lines correct, and they weren't in succession, for sure. Oh man, and the worst, when you start the Alleluia, it's got to go three steps up, and I started almost at the highest. So God knows how to humble me. I love it when I make a mistake, because then I look really bad. And I hate it when everybody else makes a mistake, because then I feel really bad, because I mess them up somehow. Because it's always my fault. But one thing isn't my fault, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that today. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank each of you who lectured and gave your voices to God to proclaim His word. Wasn't it great to have our new, well, not catechumens, our new young men and women who are preparing to receive their Easter sacraments lecture for us? You're pretty good at it. Do you think we should have them do it more often? I think so as well. I think our Lord has spoken to us through you, and He will continue to do so with the help of God, strengthened now by your Easter sacraments. That was you without grace. Wonder what it's going to be like with grace. To so many of you who've lent your voices to us here during this during this Lenten season, and especially during the whole Triduum in song, wasn't that beautiful? Last year we didn't get to have the beauty of the organ. This year we had such beautiful singing. I tell you the truth. Please don't say this to Monsignor Ron. He's probably not going to hear this. But it's much better than St. Thomas Aquinas in Rio Rancho. That's where I first was as a priest. Much better. They have string quartet and all sorts of trumpets and other instruments. You did better than they did. It's so good. And you men, I told you this before, remember? I called you out and said that this is the best group of Knights of the Altar we've ever had. In fact, you as men yourselves, not to mention the ladies are out there, but you as men, in fact, are the best group of men. Yes, Fabian was last year. You're the best group of men who we've ever prepared for confirmation in my priesthood. I'm looking forward to great things from you. Don't prove me wrong. I'm probably supposed to make some announcements, but I don't know what they are, so we're going to skip them. I'm just so full of joy right now. It's so good to see so many of you who are here, so many of your faces that I haven't seen in a long while. Welcome back. Welcome back home. It fills me with great joy to see you today on this, the greatest of all days. Even you, Annika, in the back, it's good to see you too. I finally got a smile out of you for once. That's good. In this Mass today, the Eucharistic prayer. We're going to pray the Eucharistic prayer that we have here. We call it the Roman Canon. Do you know what that is, the Roman Canon? It's that prayer. We list a bunch of names in there. In the Roman Canon, we list a lot of prayers and names. We say what? We say James and John and Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon and Jude, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysogonus, John and Paul, Cosmas and Damian. We say Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia. And when you hear those words, what most of you probably think of is, oh, Father's just using all that really, really long prayer today. So we can excuse him. This is going to be a long Mass. I can sit back and relax for a bit. But those prayers, do you notice what it is when we say those names? Those are a bunch of names, a bunch of souls. A bunch of individuals who have passed on in our history, and we say at every Mass. Those are the names of the first people who said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Those are the names of the first people who said Jesus isn't just a man. That Jesus Christ isn't just a good teacher, that He is both God and man at the same time in the same person. That Jesus Christ, yes, He did die, but Jesus Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You're not doing well. You're not doing well tonight. We're going to do that a lot of times. We do it every year. It's the exact same thing. Jesus Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is truly risen. All of these persons, all these names, all these saints who are here, they make this declaration. These are persons of all their lives. They make this declaration not just something that loses friends. Today, if we make that declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He has in fact given Himself to us, it may lose us friends. But back then, it meant more. It meant that you wouldn't just lose friends. It meant that you could possibly lose your life. And actually, you probably would. All these men and women, they all died as martyrs. Died a martyr's death because they proclaimed Jesus Christ. One of the early martyrs of the church, one of the ones who's not listed in the string of names in the canon in the Eucharistic prayer that we have here, his name is Polycarp. You know who St. Polycarp is? He was the successor to the successor of St. Peter in the church of Antioch. St. Peter was first the bishop of Antioch before he became bishop of Rome. And this is his successor, St. Polycarp. And at a time in his life, the Roman emperor called for a more fierce persecution of Christians. And so the local Roman procurator, the local Roman governor, called all those and rounded up all those who professed the Christian faith. They knew where to find them because Christians aren't quiet about being Christian, even in that time when it was going to cost them their lives. They rounded them all up and they brought them all to the place and tried to get them to recant their belief in Christ. At this time, Bishop Polycarp wasn't a young man. He wasn't young like Michael. I keep calling you Michael. David. I want to call you David. Michael, David. He wasn't young like you. He was an old man. Very, very old man. And Bishop Polycarp was brought before the Roman governor at the time. Everything was there. He was brought in front of all the people who were there watching, waiting for him to recant his faith. And he gave a beautiful exchange that we have recorded in the Romans. They took down what the proceedings were, just like we take down proceedings in a court trial. And so we have the exact words that went on in there. And he went back and forth and basically proclaimed who Jesus is, told him about the faith, gave him a good defense for the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And at the end of it, the Roman governor was impressed by his faith and thought it was interesting, but he said, okay, we got to do this thing. So here, Bishop Polycarp, you're an old man. I've got compassion upon you. Look, I don't want to put you to death, but I got to put you to death. So here we go. All you got to do is offer some incense here. Offer it to the governor. Offer it to the emperor, rather, and you'll go away free. Go away a free man and die an old man's death. All you got to do is put that incense there to offer sacrifice, and we'll call it square and send you on your way. Bishop Polycarp had just seen so many members of his flock fed to the lions, destroyed by so many beasts. He saw his flock destroyed at this time. And so when he heard that, he turned to the governor and he said plainly to him, he said, I have served my king, Jesus Christ, for 86 long years. For 86 long years, I have served Jesus Christ, my king. Why would I blaspheme the one who saves me? This life holds nothing for me. Do what you will. Do what you will to this bag of bones that's here before you. Send my soul to my king. And those words cost Bishop Polycarp his life. Because of these words, he was burned alive at the stake. But amazingly, Bishop Polycarp did not die in the flames. No. The flames did not touch him, just like those three brave men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the Old Testament. They did not touch him, and they were in awe because he was totally untouched by the flames that engulfed him. He, just like those great saints of the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, spent his time in the flames praising God, singing hymns to the Lord, such that they had to take their long spears into the flames and stab him to finally get him to succumb to death. And everybody around, they said they smelled not the smell of putrid burning flesh as he was there, but rather the smell of sweet bread. Sweet bread, for his body was turned to bread like that, just like the Eucharist. The stories of the martyrs, read them. Familiarize yourself with your history of faith. The stories of the martyrs are all the same as this. That's just one of the early martyrs of the church, Bishop Polycarp, who gave his early testament to Jesus Christ being Lord. But make no mistake, even today, all over the world, men and women of faith still give their testament to Jesus Christ with their blood. There are martyrs in Kenya, in Nigeria. There are martyrs in China and all across the Middle East today. Even in India, there are. In fact, in Europe now, formerly Christian Europe, there are martyrs that are offering their lives to God. Remember, just 2 years ago, there was that old French priest who was offering the Holy Mass. And some radicalized Muslim man ran up behind him early in the morning and stabbed him. His cause of canonization is going forward, and soon, soon, Pope Francis will be canonizing that French priest. All these martyrs, every single one of them, confront the most basic fear that we have. What's the most basic fear that you and I experience in our lives? That's right. The fear of death. Each of us fears death. Death is something that stares us in the face. Each one of these martyrs, they faced death. They faced that fear of death and did not flinch. And did not flinch because God was with them. They could have avoided it if they would have just recanted their faith. If they would have just turned their back on Christ, they could have lived a long life to old age. But they died professing that their hope. That their hope is not here. To face the fear of death, brothers and sisters, that's why we're here tonight. We're here to face the fear of death face to face and call upon the courage of the martyrs to be unflinching in the face of death tonight. Jesus Christ, he conquered death. He conquered sin and death by dying on a tree for our sins. What did Jesus do? Jesus nailed death to the cross. Its sting. He killed it all. He killed fear and nailed it to the cross. That's why today we can stand together and we can say, Jesus Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Chippy. Jesus Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Stay awake. Stay alive. Chippy is. Be like him. I think the reason why is because he has such a beautiful beard. The rest of you men are on notice. Be like Chippy. The evil of death. The malignant spirit thought that he had won. Satan thought that he had beaten Christ. He had put Jesus Christ in the tomb and sealed it shut, rolling that big heavy stone across its entrance so that nothing could get out. But suddenly, what happened? That's what we celebrate today. Suddenly, the empty tomb. The empty tomb. And in that empty tomb, what we saw there was nothing. We knew that in that moment that Jesus Christ was risen. He is risen indeed. Be on guard, brothers and sisters. He is. The greatest discovery of all mankind was happened not when Christopher Columbus sailed across the sea. It wasn't when fire was created. It wasn't when all these technological discoveries of this modern age have happened. No. The greatest discovery of human history was the empty tomb. Isn't that right, our history teacher, Selena? The empty tomb. The empty tomb. Jesus Christ destroyed our mortality that day, 33 AD. He had taken all hatred, he took all evil, he took all punishment, and he nailed it to the wood of the cross. Jesus Christ turned it all into love. He turned it all into forgiveness. He turned it all into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's where the courage of the martyrs comes to a head. It comes to the empty tomb. The empty tomb where we are today. The empty tomb says that death does not have the last word. It says that our God has the power to save. The empty tomb says death is powerless. That's why we today can come here together and say that Jesus Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Come on, it's lost some of that fervor. You got to keep it alive throughout all the night and all season long. We're here tonight to celebrate the reality of the empty tomb because it's not a historical fact that happened some 2,000 years ago. It's not something that we read about in history books. In fact, they kicked Jesus out of the history books, right? It's not something that we read about on a page and toss to the side. Jesus Christ gave his life for a church that today lives because of Christ and is alive today because of Christ. On the cross, what happened? The final indignity that was placed upon Christ, St. Longinus took a spear and pierced, opened up the sacred side of our Lord and Savior. And what came forth? Blood and water. Blood and water poured forth from his sacred side, as we see here in the divine mercy image, which is here before us every day. Blood and water poured from his side and came out what? Not just blood and water, but it showed us that that's where, from the very side of Jesus Christ, comes the sacramental life of the church. It was born. Water for what? Baptism. Blood for what? The Eucharist. And so our Lord gives us that every day. Water gives us baptism, which gives us life. It is blood in the Eucharist which feeds us at every Mass, so that we may have the strength to overcome all difficulties, not through our power, but through Christ alive within us. And 50 days later, on Pentecost Sunday, what happened? The power of the Holy Spirit came down upon the church and made the church alive. Fire came upon the church. And that fire, the Holy Spirit, came down and sealed them in confirmation. That's why today we have water, blood, and fire. Tonight we celebrate water, blood, and fire upon these three men and women. Baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. Those are the gifts that will strengthen you in your life. The Easter story of the empty tomb, it continues on even today. The Easter message is that the church today is brought to life. The Easter message is that the church receives the power of God. The Easter message is that the church today is sent forth into the world to go and to make new members of his body, to set prisoners free, to see that sinners come back to him in repentance, to see that sorrowing hearts might find consolation, to see that those who are sick might be made well by the power of his passion and death, to see that the poor find themselves rich, not in the material world, but in the eternal world with the power of God. You three, Juanita, David, Selena, the three of you, tonight will follow in the tradition of those holy martyrs who have gone on since the beginning of the church. You will receive power from on high, power from God. And I'm so happy to be able to give you that at my hands this day. In baptism, what happens is that we are inoculated against spiritual death. That those who die in Christ will also be those who will rise with him. That you are completely reconfigured in your baptism under the very person of Christ. So your identity no longer is Juanita, David, and Selena. No. Your identity will be Teresa, John, and Therese. Your identity really will be Jesus Christ. In baptism, that's what happens. And in confirmation, what happens is that you will be given the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit so that you can truly be on fire with the love of God, empowering you to boldly proclaim your faith both in your words and in your deeds, that you will have that gift of courage, that fortitude, that you need not fear death. No. You need not fear death because of what? The empty tomb. And what does the empty tomb proclaim to us? It says that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And in the Eucharist, brothers and sisters, you will first taste God. He comes to us at every Catholic Mass. He's here present to give himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that all throughout the world, everywhere you go, no matter where you travel, anywhere you go to a Catholic Mass, you can have access to that divine life, tasting him, receiving him, so that being incorporated into his flesh, you might be incorporated into his kingdom of eternal life. What does he say? He says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, unless you drink his blood, then you don't have life within you. But when you eat his flesh, he says, but when you eat, drink my blood, you will have my life within you, and I will raise you on the last day. Those are the promises of Jesus Christ that he gives to us. This is a reality. This isn't some sort of hyperbole or great way of speaking. God in the Eucharist strengthens us to love his people, to bring him his love, and to make sure that we become more and more like him each and every day. But in Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear death, because Jesus Christ nailed death to the tree of the cross. We are the deathless voices that cry out victory. So there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of, because God is calling us in this world into the church. That you who are young children in your faith that are going to be receiving these Easter sacraments now, God wants to inspire you to stay alive in Christ. And you are a reminder to each of us who are here who have already received those sacraments. And many of us have received them many times. You're a reminder of us that the church is still alive today. So we are here to thank God for the gift of baptism, of new life within our church. To be bold and courageous in our faith, because we have the fire of the Holy Spirit burning and living within us. Not to miss a single opportunity to receive the Holy Eucharist, because we can receive him every week at Mass and even daily. As Catholics, we call this into being. We proclaim the truth that the world is lost in despair, that is lost in darkness. To a world that has no hope, to a world that is lost and can only see the fear of death and seeks to stave it off by every pleasure they can bring to themselves. But as Catholics, we know that that's not the end of the story. As Catholics, we know that the resurrection was not a fact that was just 2,000 years ago written in a book and closed and shut on a table someday. We hear it even tonight. We are witnesses of that empty tomb. For there is only one response that we can make, and that is Jesus Christ is risen.
Amen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
God love you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.